I learned such an insane stat the other day. Jamaica has around 148 miles of recreational sandy beaches, but less than 5 miles of those are publicly accessible to everyday Jamaicans.
Along this course, we can only enter the beach right here. All of this we can't.
Which is really shocking because so much of the country's image is rooted in its beaches. However, there's maybe a clue as to why in all of its imagery. But how exactly that came to be is a complicated journey from colonialism and a transition of power that kept the rights of access in the hands of a few powerful people.
We're becoming a landlocked country. We are locked out, and it's our own people doing this, and this is symptomatic along the entire goddamn North Coast.
So how have Jamaicans been blocked from accessing their own beaches? The roots of this story go back to a brutal truth. After slavery was abolished in Jamaica in 1838, the descendants of enslaved Africans were never given land by the British. Instead, large swathes of fertile land and coastal space were retained by colonial elites or sold off to incoming wealthy families, cementing a system where black Jamaicans remain landless in their own country. There is a lot of nuance here, and it's quite a complicated period of history that we don't have time to fully get into now, but I have put some resources in the video description if you're interested. Over 100 years later, in 1956, Jamaica's colonial government passed the Beach Control Act, which declared that all beaches were owned by the Crown. That's the British monarchy. The government said that the act was intended to protect the beaches for everyone, but in reality, what happened was that licenses were created for use of the beaches, and these were handed to private developers and luxury resorts, a pattern that still shapes Jamaica's beaches today. The Beach Control Act made this pretty clear. No person shall be deemed to have any right in or over the foreshore, except as may be granted by virtue of this act. Which means the right to the beach isn't a right at all. It's something the state can give or take away. This remained the case even after Jamaica gained independence in 1962 and continues to this day. Jamaica's beaches are still legally vested in the British Crown, meaning the King still holds ownership through his representative, the Governor General. The Governor General appoints the Commissioner of Lands, who sits inside the Prime Minister's office. The Prime Minister is Andrew Holness, who, together with the Commissioner of Lands, decides who gets beach access. But the chain of authority still traces back to the King. Many politicians themselves are now deeply invested in real estate and the tourism industry, profiting from the very system that keeps ordinary Jamaicans out. For example, Jamaica's Prime Minister Andrew Holness and his family had over 161 million Jamaican dollars in assets as of 2019, with more than $125 million listed under real estate mortgages, receivables, and business investments too. Meanwhile, Leader of the Opposition, Mark Golding, earned over 56 million Jamaican dollars in real estate income in 2022. And figures from Jamaica's wealthiest families are embedded in the government too. Adam Stewart, Executive Chairman of Sandals Resorts, was appointed by the Prime Minister as Jamaica's Special Investment Envoy for Tourism. That means one of the country's most powerful hotel magnates now helps shape national tourism policy. This history isn't distant, it's alive, and colonial control still shapes who gets to enjoy paradise. Which is why I spoke to Dr. Devon Taylor, a founding member of the environmental movement JABEM, Jamaica Beach Birthright Environmental Movement, to find out in detail how Jamaicans are being prevented from accessing their beaches. The official number of publicly accessible beaches in Jamaica is provided by NEPA, the National Environment and Planning Agency. So this map is from the NEPA website.
Yeah.
And they put the number of public beaches at 56, is that right?
Absolutely.
But that number is contested for a number of reasons, isn't it?
So their list that they have as 56, you know, is a moving target. At the whim, the government can, you know, close that beach.
So what NEPA lists as public bathing beaches aren't actually accessible to the public forever.
There's no permanence in any beach that exists on that 56 list. And I name you Old Hospital Beach, Walter Fletcher Beach, Font Hill Beach, Pearly Beach, and Trial Beach. So 5 beaches that the government would say reserved for the public in 2025 as has been listed for divestment.
And what does divestment mean exactly?
Well, a private owner would take over operation on the land. They would receive a beach license that they would determine what, you know, are the activities offered on the beach. And because they would control the land before the beach, they determine if you access for free, if they put a hotel, a facility, whatever, any commercialized land, plans that they have, they'll be able to do that in that space.
And some of these beaches on the NEPA map aren't quite what they seem. Is that fair to say?
The size of quote-unquote public beaches maintained by the government, right? They are small spaces. In Montego Bay, I measured 14 miles of coastline. Of those, there are only four beaches, right? The Armona Cove, the Old Man Beach, another beach called Dead End Beach. Only those three beaches are really, quote-unquote, really free to the public. The fourth beach is Providence. But now Providence is a contested space. So in the entire city of Montego Bay, with over 14 miles of beach, it's only 4,000 feet that the population would be able to access freely.
Gosh, yeah. Jamaica's coastline is dominated by all-inclusive resorts. Companies like Sandals, Iberostar, and Half Moon own huge stretches of the beachfront and often restrict locals from even stepping foot on the sand. The beaches that are left over are often really small spaces and what Devon calls poor quality.
So I'm going to show you a classic example on here. This is the cruise shipping pier in Olcharios. And this is where all the liners comes in and they can access that pearly beach in there. This fisherman beach here, I just want you to pay attention here. You see how small this is? Even though you see the coastline is littered, you know, with all those things that NEPA says are, you know, free access. Sometimes they are this, you know, 20 feet across.
Yeah.
The entire coastline here used to be accessible by the community. Again, this James Bond Beach here, this part of the beach is accessible by the public. As you can see, there are fishing vessels here. But then there is the expensive development of Golden Eye, which the fisher folks used to have freedom of movements. They can't do that anymore. So, you know, we have access to here, but we have lost all of this access. All of that is lost. So you can see the corrugated fencing here.
Yeah.
It's almost shameful to kind of explain to you guys how we live on this island. I was born and raised in this community, and I would go through these bushes to go to the sea. So I left for the US. I got a master's degree and a PhD, and I went back home to my fucking country, and I can't use the sea.
But it doesn't have to be this way. Other Caribbean islands like Barbados and Antigua guarantee public access to all beaches. There, no private resort or hotel can legally block someone from reaching the sea. Today, groups like JABEM are fighting back. They're taking legal action against the government and private companies to block exclusion by new development. They're also calling on the government to repeal the 1956 Beach Control Act and are asking visitors to stand with them. They're also encouraging tourists to ask their resorts, can a Jamaican walk across your property to get to the beach before choosing where to book?